Hey, it's John Paul, the car doctor. Do you ever wonder if you owned an electric car, could you fix it yourself? And if you wanted to, where do you get the parts for it? And what about electric vehicles? Do you think they're going to be really popular? Well, with us on the phone is a guy with the answers. With us on the phone is Dave Morris. He's the chief merchandising officer for carparts.com. And first off, carparts.com, I was doing a little bit of research and I look up carparts.com and J.C. Whitney pops up at the same time. And anybody who's been around for a long time recognizes that name. What's the relationship with J.C. Whitney and car parts?
You know, it was an acquisition a few years back that the previous, leadership team had taken on with J.C. Whitney, you know, to try to convert the old catalog business to an internet business. And I think over the years, they had some different integrations. I was actually excited when I joined because, you know, it allowed me to take that iconic brand and continue to drive it. So, you know, our the future of what that looks like is we are carparts.com, one single source website. And J.C. Whitney lives in there as the premium private label brand for us. That's our brand for our own house-made performance accessories and parts and classic parts and so on. It's just a great name in the over 100-year history of putting out great products, and we just want to continue doing that with the brand. So yeah, I was excited coming because when I first came here to be able to have my hands on that brand. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and speaking of parts, you know, I was looking through your website, and it kind of dovetailed into a question I was answering this week for somebody that wants to buy an older Jeep and restore it. It looks like you can buy everything but the vehicle identification number from your website. It looks like you can get fenders and doors and seats and interiors. And it looks like for somebody, especially kind of a niche hobbyist, looks like pretty much any parts available for Jeep and many other vehicles.
Yeah, you could build a Jeep ground up, and then when you're done, you could get a best top tonneau cover to put on the top. You know, we have also the performance products for Jeep as well. Jeep, of course, you brought up J.C. Whitney. It was very, you know, Jeep was a great product line with Whitney as well, you know, for many, many years. And with us, what's very unique about carparts.com is we are exactly that, meaning we go all of collision and mechanical, and we stock and distribute those from our same DCs. So when you go online and you think about multiple companies, there's a lot of companies out there, they might just do one piece of the business, or you end up having to go to a marketplace somewhere to try to figure out, you know, I want to rebuild a Jeep, I want to put brakes on it, but I also need a fender, right?
Right.
So one thing unique about carparts.com that and why we have it under that one banner is under one house and one distribution and one warehouse source, we can ship and supply everything from the front bumper brackets to headlights, tail lamps, performance parts, accessories, you name it. You can put everything in one package and get it picked, packed and shipped from our warehouse directly to you from one source, which, you know, limits complications of waiting from different packages from different people and, you know, different freight rates from all over the place. You know, you can kind of consolidate everything in one and, you know, save a tremendous amount of money doing it.
Yeah. And one of the things, I mean, you know, Jeep's kind of classic, iconic, but the future is here. And I was just reading about the amount of electric vehicles that are for sale these days and the ones that are in the near future. And you guys sort of have an opinion on that as far as, you know, where electric vehicles need to go. And I was just reading something from J.D. Power that said that, you know, range anxiety is an issue with electric vehicles still, but certainly cost is an issue. I mean, you even look at, you know, some of the cheaper cars, you know, the Chevrolet Bolt, and its base trim is about $38,000 and its premium trim is $42,000. You know, people kind of cite the Tesla Model 3 as pretty affordable. It's over $50,000. The new Lucid Air, when we see that, is going to be in the $70,000 start range. You know, what does the industry need to do to get this kind of acceptance of electric vehicles onto the market? Is it price? Is it the ability to recharge? Is it what is it? What do you think it is?
I think that it first starts with an education to the consumer, maybe a little bit about why. You know, competition grows value, right? If there's no competition, there's no value to the consumer. You know, as far as a country, we've been slow to adapt
EV competitors, and we don't have as many manufacturers in our country for vehicles as other countries do. So I'll give an example, like for China. You know, China has almost double the manufacturing brands that create vehicles than we do in the USA. So because of all of those competitive brands, you know, they've adapted, you know, EV or electric vehicles a little faster than us because of the availability. Now we're starting to see some of those, like BYD has a dealership in Los Angeles and some other, you know, I want to call them more of the entry market, kind of like how, if you remember years ago, how Hyundai and Kia kind of changed the world a little bit about the entry market SUV. Because before that, you know, it was an expensive product, you know, the mini SUV.
Right.
And they changed that. So I think as more competition comes to America and people get more comfortable not needing the 300 mile plus that Tesla can give them, or maybe not the Chevy Volt, which is 36 miles, you know, we start having more vehicles that live and die in that maybe 2 to 250 range, to where, you know, or even the 100 to 150 for major cities. And the value of electric, I think, again, it comes back down to education, especially with the auto parts world. People get a little bit scared about availability of product. You know, hey, if, you know, if I buy this vehicle, am I stuck to the dealership for life? You know, where, you know, can I use my own mechanic? Can I, you know, can I have alternative after 5, 6, 7 years? Can I make my own choices? And I think that's starting to happen. Obviously, that's all driven by how many vehicles are in operation. So the more vehicles that are in operation each year, and the more opportunity there is for the large OE aftermarket guys to manufacture alternative, you know, to push those brands into the aftermarket as well as that they sell to OE, then I think that'll help the consumer with availability. And we're seeing that ourselves. That's why, you know, we kind of made a push on the EV side, you know. Between EV and hybrid, you know, we already sell stock and distribute over 15,000 of our own private label SKUs, you know, where we actually source and brand ourselves. But if you add the rest of our brand alliance and programs and what we sell in stock, you know, we can cover a large percentage of those vehicles because the bodies are the same as gas. So, you know, a lot of the fenders, the bumpers, the hoods, the body parts remain the same through a platform.
Yeah.
What changes really is you take the engine and the drivetrain, that's different. But, you know, look, shocks, struts, brakes, even down to your air cleaners, your air conditioning systems, those are all kind of the same technology that we currently have in other vehicles. But I think the average consumer, they think it's maybe more high tech for those other items, right? Oh, no, it's electric. Those I can't, you know, how do I replace my brakes? Well, we sell Tesla brakes now. So, you know, it's really what we felt is we needed to make a home for that customer and give them a experience that they could come to. And actually, even before they buy an electric vehicle, maybe go out and take a look at what's available. See what you can do yourself. See what the cost of goods are for replacement parts and so on. Especially if you're looking now where, you know, they're starting to get a nice used vehicle population in electric. You know, there's lots of S's, X's are starting to become used. And I think as that used market grows, of course, the brand new market will continue to grow. And as the rest of our domestic brands, I think it's GM that said they'll be fully electric by 2035. Right. And I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to hear a lot of that. And I think, look, as a country, we will go to electric from a new vehicle, but I think that'll also give us an opportunity for the gearheads and, you know, like, you know, that want to continue to work on their own vehicles and have a lot more projects. I think it's actually going to create a little bit more fun in the next 5 to 10 to 15 years for us guys that actually like to work on them.
So, yeah, it is pretty interesting that it's almost like the vehicle manufacturers need to show their customers that they're not the only ones that have to work on their car. And I know that's counterintuitive because the manufacturers want the cars to come back to the dealers, but to get a little bit more acceptance, having that trusted repair shop around the corner from the house makes that potential buy a little bit easier if you know that, you know, Joe, who you've been going to for 20 years, can work on your electric car. So I think that is kind of an interesting kind of area that they're in right now. And it's interesting also, you mentioned the idea that you sell Tesla brakes right now, because it's pretty well known in the, you know, Tesla community, you can't buy a lug nut from a Tesla dealership, you know. So the idea that you now have sourced some of those parts, and out here on the East Coast, there's a YouTuber, Rich Rebuilds, that is pretty well known now about rebuilding Teslas. And I know he tried to buy a lug nut cover from Tesla. And they said to him, no, no, you need to come into the dealership. He's like, no, I just want to buy the little metal cover that goes over the lug nut. And they said, no, you can't. You have to come into the dealership. So the idea that you guys are starting to have some of those parts available now, and like you pointed out, yeah, there's some used Model S's on the market now. But I think taking it even a step lower, the Nissan Leaf, which is kind of a 90 to 100 mile range vehicle, they're pretty affordable in the used car market now in the $6,000 and $7,000 range. And for a lot of people, it would make a really good second or third car. And if the parts are available, kind of the normal maintenance sort of things, brakes and shocks and ball joints and things that normally wear out with a used car, and those parts are available through a place like yours with carparts.com, whether they're available at the local auto parts store or whether the local repair shop or the DIYer, you know, we're seeing repair shops now going online and ordering their parts, and yeah, you'll get them in 2 days, and it makes their life as easy as calling the local auto parts store.
Yeah, you know, you have to think, it's hard for the common, you know, just everyday DIY person to think of supply chain, right? Which I live and die in it, right? That's what I do for a living with the company, not only with the merchandising side, but I got to figure out from point A to point end, right, for the consumer. And our goal is to fix our customer's problem as fast as possible. I mean, right. So that's very important to us. But when you look at a local, you know, auto parts store, there's no such thing as a wall stretcher to where you can stretch the walls and carry more parts.
Right.
So they have to make a decision annually on the best opportunistic, sales they can get out of that local store. Then, you know, that local store is supplied by a local satellite DC that's supplied by, a regional DC that's supplied by a factory. So all these steps of distribution to get it to the consumer closer, let's say. What we do unique is, you know, we are a two-step distribution. We go directly from the manufacturer or the brand to our warehouses, which allows us to carry all the SKUs under one roof.
Right.
Which allows the consumer online to have an endless aisle of shopping.
Yeah.
To where they can get served. Now look, I, you can't go pick it up in the next 30 minutes. You know, you got to deal with, you know, whatever the, yeah, the freight situation is at the time. But, you know, we do have expedited freight and so on. So, for instance, when you bring up like the Leaf or things like that, a lot of times the local auto parts stores can't carry that. You know, they have to buy it from a nut, you know, or transfer it in from a warehouse or something, because you can't have everything. Or even the local repair shop, he's going to be buying parts from a local, you know, warehouse guy. He might not carry the, you know, those products or anything for his distribution. So in the end of the day, the reason we have our unique EV experience and, you know, from cataloging and everything is, again, on that Leaf, is if it's made, I'm going to carry it and I'm going to go after it because I'm carrying the entire assortment and I can ship from an entire location to my consumer as my front facing, then I'm not limited by regional inventories of vehicles. Yeah. I'm limited by the national inventory of vehicles. So that's how we look at our opportunity with the consumer. And I also think for the customer, it gives them a better opportunity because obviously when we reduce those levels of supply, that's how we become competitive. And that's really, you know, the market position that we try to put ourselves in to really be a consumer friendly, fast, easy business website to deal with that, you know, kind of specializes for what that customer needs. But you're right. You can find stuff for Leaf. Leaf's actually very well produced now because of that, because there's a value vehicle or a used vehicle that's affordable, yeah, as a second or third car. You might buy your daughter a Leaf for high school, just like you would have bought, you know, a Cavalier 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Those are the first kind of cars that people work on because you're just trying to keep your kid's car running. Right.
Right. Right.
So the more that happens, I think the more availability. But you said something earlier, John, that I think is important, is to understand maintenance. You know, our country has billions of dollars in delayed maintenance on vehicles. So, you know, if you really wanted to be safe and take care of your vehicle, then understand that the maintenance is actually not just important because the part's wearing down. Is as parts wear down, they end up affecting and wearing down other parts if you leave it that too long.
Yeah.
So delayed maintenance is something I would recommend to anybody, that you want to limit your need to ever actually do any work on a vehicle, then have a strict maintenance routine.
Right.
But you can do that yourself, you know?
Yeah. No, the old days of, you know, Saturday morning with dad under the hood of the car, no one does that anymore. And you're right, that deferred maintenance turns into much more expensive repairs. And the idea that availability is there. It's interesting you talked about supply chain, because in my notes, I wrote down that your background is supply chain and logistics. So it's, looking at some of what you have brought to the company to be able to do exactly what you said. And it is interesting. It's easy to manage steady. It's hard to manage the peaks and the valleys. And whether it's an auto parts store that gets slammed and they only have two drivers and they can't deliver the parts, or whether it's really slow and they have people standing around with nothing to do and they're like, well, we kind of have to lay them off because it's not busy enough. But the idea of being able to go online and order those parts and getting them, you know, as you said, expedited shipping if necessary, or just knowing that you'll get them in X amount of days. And that's where you're doing it yourself or you're scheduled to work in. So you order it on Monday to know that you're going to be working, you know, you're going to be under the hood in the garage on a Saturday, or your repair shop's going to be working on it the following week or so. So it does make it a little bit easier. When it comes back to that electric vehicles, and I've said for a while now, I think in, you know, pick the time, 20 years, that gasoline engines will probably be as rare as cars with clutch pedals. You just don't see that many standard shift cars anymore. And in 20 years, maybe all we'll see is electric cars with a kind of a spattering of gasoline cars here and there. What more can the vehicle manufacturers do to try to really say to the public, you know, this is the future that's coming up. This is the future that's reliable. You have to trust us for it. And, you know, for a big company to say, and I don't care who the big company is, to say, trust us, sometimes can be a little bit of a challenge. But as an auto parts supplier, what's your thoughts? You know, if you could sit down with the head of, you know, Volvo and General Motors and Kia and Hyundai and Ford and talk to their electric car people, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that cars don't need an Android and an Apple. That's the first thing I would tell them.
All right.
So, you know, you want to make it easy for us to adapt to an electric car, then make my charger the same for all. Period.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't have a different charging system for a Tesla or a GM or somebody else. I need to feel comfortable. I also want to know that if it's the same charging system, then when I'm looking at my home or whatever, that might be something that is something we want in our home in the future. Right. You want that to be unique, right? You want it to be able to, one thing works for all. That'd be the first. The second, I would say, is that they need to collaborate on the technology so it reduces the cost of the vehicle, right? Everybody's running to make their own batteries. Everybody's running to make their own system. Now, there is some collaboration, but I don't think it's big enough. I don't think the collaboration is enough to make us consumers save. So when you really think about it, if every manufacturer is working on their own platform, their own system, then we'll just have a country full of Teslas.
Yeah.
That's not what we need. We need the manufacturers to get together, figure out how to build a platform like a V8, like a V6, right? I mean, those are platform engines that we as consumers understand. We know how they work. We know, and we can pretty much work independently on each one, understanding the basic, you know, the basic mechanics of a V6 or a V8 engine or a four cylinder, right? But when you think electric, every automotive manufacturer is trying to develop their own technology, their own system, their own battery. I'm better. Look at me. This is great. So think, if you really think about it, 20, 30 years from now, every vehicle, the engine will be unique. And that's something that I don't think is the right way to go if we're going to have a value marketplace for entry-level electronic, right? Entry-level EVs. The manufacturers have to get together and figure out a way to where they can build a platform to solve that. Otherwise, in 50, 60, 70 to 100 years, we're going to be walking around looking for lead, right? I mean, you know, the technology has to be together. You know, I'll use something that maybe it makes sense in today's world, but when you look at it, you know, like anything that's separated the speed to market is 10 times longer. But when they collaborate, speed to market can be a year. And it, look at, you know, in our nation to create, you know, a vaccine, that was a completed, you know, it was a collaboration. So it happened really fast. If we treated the EV electronic battery systems in more of a collaboration to where they're all solving the same problem together and then use that platform on all their vehicles, that will solve cost of goods, that'll solve the price, it'll solve availability, but it'll also solve the biggest problem, which is educating average people to work on their own vehicle rather than having to have an a Tesla experience, right? They have to have a different understanding for every single vehicle you buy.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And it has to go back to price too. I mean, you look at the average transaction price today of a new car is around $40,000. You know, the average transaction price of most EVs is, you know, north of $50,000 somewhere. But the average used car price is probably closer to $15,000 or $16,000. And that's the car that a lot of people buy. And it isn't the $40,000, $50,000 new car. It's the used car. And used cars is a lot of what makes up the cars you see on the road today. And a lot of those used cars are maintained by the owners themselves. You know, maybe not the person who lives in Manhattan, but when you get outside of the cities and, you know, you still see an awful lot of people working on their own cars. And the idea of, like you said, the complexity of an electric car, that's the Nissan Leaf is going to be that much different than the Chevy Bolt, which is going to be that much different than the Tesla Model 3, which is going to be that much different than whatever comes up further down the road. So the idea of having that uniformity, and you make it, you put it in a very simple term. Why do I need to have two cell phone chargers in my house? Because I have an iPhone and my wife has an Android, but we have to have two because the plugs aren't the same. And recently I was just in a new Mercedes, and all of a sudden now they don't have a USB connector for my cell phone charger. It's a USB-C because it's smaller and faster. And I'm like, but I don't have anything with the USB-C. Why do we need to change something that works? So I think the idea of having some uniformity probably makes a lot of sense. And yes, you can easily take that same battery design, add more battery to it, and have more power, but it's still the same as the one that has less power. And if you can do that kind of across the lines, it's going to make somebody feel more confident in their car. But still, if you take out the drivetrain, there's still stuff that wears out. And I think that's where you look at companies like yours, carparts.com, where you can say, we can provide, you know, if you want to hire the magician to work on the drivetrain, the person with a pointy hat and a magic wand, they can work on that part of it. But as far as the other parts of it, we have all of that available. So, look and see what wears out on your gasoline car. How often do you really work on the engine? Probably not often at all. But how often do you work on bearings and brakes and shocks and other components, bushings and suspension parts that are just going to wear out? And you can still do that with an electric car, and it's not any different.
Yeah, the basics is about the same. And I also think when you go, I do believe they'll figure out the charging system, John. For us, for instance, we currently sell hybrid replacement batteries for, Priuses, right?
Yep.
And they're the full system, not just the battery, but the full actual hybrid system. And the reason why is because it's already been in the marketplace long enough to where there's now a remanufacturing business of that, right?
Yep.
But one thing that's going to be very important that people should think about in electric cars is the same education of the cell phone. When we first got cell phones 20 years ago, Nokia, BlackBerry, everybody had different chargers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're sitting today, right?
Right.
We've got two. We've got, Apple and Android. But now when you also look at that same analogy, listen, over time, your cell phone battery eventually wears down. You had so many. And even when I've had two electric vehicles, and from owning them, I didn't just buy them and sell them. I kept them through a whole term of the lease, right?
Yeah.
Both of them over 3 years. And
from when I first got it to when I turned it back in, the range went down. You know, yeah. And the range would change in the cold and change in the summer. I have not heard of or found a system that when I trade my vehicle in, does it get back up to original range? So when it's sold used, the performance can be just as good. Or is there a lifetime cycle that eventually there's a used, you know, EV vehicle in the market, but that one can only hold half a charge. This one can hold a full charge. This one can hold a quarter charge. There's no system yet to really value a used car that's electric and how much charge it can actually keep. What's the difference in the value? And that's something NADA needs to figure out, and Kelly and the, you know, they got to value that, because when you think about your engine in your car, it's all by mileage. Well, mileage will wear everything down, but it also wear out the engine. When you think the mileage on batteries, that's just cycling from full charge to out of charge to full charge to out of charge. You can maintain and fix everything else for mileage on your vehicle, the shocks, the struts, and all of the, you know, replacement stuff that wear away. But there is no market today to say, hey, I want to take my charging system that's only at 85% now and make it 100. Or what's the difference in the value?
Yeah.
That's going to be something we'll have to solve for sure.
No, you're right, because I have talked to people that have bought and sold a Prius, for instance. And if you're trading it in and it's 5 years old, the used car dealer says, we can really only give you X amount of dollars because it's 5 years old and the battery's almost worn out. But yet when you go to buy it, the salesman says, it's 5 years old. Look at the amount of life it has left in it. Before we let you go, General Motors right now is selling complete turnkey electric vehicle systems. You can go take a 49 Chevy pickup truck and put a full electric kit inside of it and make it a full EV. Is carparts.com are you guys near that point yet where you can sell an entire electric vehicle drivetrain?
No. So now the dealers are going to leave that to themselves until it's available. Now we do sell OE dealer product, right? You know, like brands and so on that are available, but we can only sell what they offer open to the aftermarket business. So hopefully, you know, I don't know how long it took GM to start selling Corvette engines in a crate, but I think it took a few years after selling the Corvettes. And I think today there's, if you want a Corvette engine in a crate, you're going to a dealer.
Yep.
And that's the uniqueness of, you know, GM's dealership network and, you know, a franchise business, right? I would say that eventually, if that does take off, we won't be far behind.
Right. I would expect that's the case. So if people want more information, pretty simple to find you guys, right? Carparts.com, right?
It's what we do. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I want to thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your day and joining us on the Car Doctor program.
Appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Car Doctor radio podcast. Remember, you can find us live every Saturday morning on 104.9 FM or NorthShore104.9.com. And you can find past programs right here on our podcast, johnfpaul.podbean.com, iTunes, Google, any number of places you find podcasts. Just search for Car Doctor Podcast and you'll find us. Until next time, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.